still rattled and creaked. Tabalera couldn't see outside. There were no windows in the cramped cabin, but the agent sitting beside him calmly reported that they were flying at nearly the speed of sound. "Going where?" Tabalera asked. "Ski country," said the agent sitting in front of him. "You like to ski, kid?" Tabalera remembered the stuntman he'd met aboard the Goddard Habitat, Manuel Gaeta. Manny had skied down Mount Olympus on Mars. "Nah, I never been on skis," he said. "Good thing," said the agent with a bitter laugh. "There hasn't been any snow to ski on for years." They flew for nearly 3 hours, and then the tiltrotor spiraled down to a landing. The hatch opened automatically, and again, with one agent ahead of him and the other behind, Tabalera clambered down the shaky little ladder and planted his feet on solid ground once more. They were in the mountains, he saw. Probably the Rockies, judging by the stark granite peaks. It was decidedly chillier than it had been in Little Rock. A cold, dry wind cut through his thin shirt jacket and made him shiver. He was glad when the agents quick-marched him across the windswept landing pad and into a concrete building set into the side of a bare rock cliff. Tabalera noticed the emblem above the sliding steel doors of the building, the stylistic eagle of the federal government, surrounded by the twining palm boughs of the new morality. Inside, the place looked like a more or less ordinary office complex. No windows, but long corridors dotted with closed doors. Each door bore a coded plaque that apparently indicated who or what was inside that office, Tabalera figured. Small rectangular electronic keypads were mounted on the walls beside each door. There were plenty of men and women walking along the corridors, some of them hurrying, pinch-faced, others looking relaxed, almost at leisure. Most of them wore ordinary street clothes, although a few were in uniform, and several were dressed in what looked like clerical garb. Nobody using pocket phones, he noticed. The building must be screened against wireless transmissions. The agents guided him through the maze of corridors to a door, finally, that bore an understandable title, Conference Room C-120. The shaved agent opened the door, and his older partner shooed Tabalera inside with a brusque gesture. Then they closed the door behind him, leaving Tabalera alone in the room. It held an oval table with 8 plush-looking chairs arranged around it. The walls were featureless gray. Smart screens, Tabalera guessed. He didn't see any security cameras, but figured there could be all sorts of surveillance sensors behind the softly glowing ceiling panels. Wondering if he should sit or remain standing, he stepped over to the small table at the far end of the conference room. It bore a stainless steel pitcher and a stack of plastic cups. Tabalera took a cup and poured from the pitcher. Water. That's real Rocky Mountain water. He whirled, nearly dropping the cup in his surprise. A slender young black woman stood in the doorway, smiling brightly at him. He hadn't heard the door open. Before she closed it again, Tabalera glimpsed his two agents standing out in the corridor, looking bored. "It's rather rare, you know," she said, still smiling. "Without any snow melt in the springtime, this area is drying out, turning semi-arid." Tabalera nodded mutely. "My name is Sister Angelique," said the young woman as she walked gracefully to the head of the table. "Please sit down and make yourself comfortable." She was as slim as a newborn colt and almost Tabalera's own height. She spoke with a faint hint of an accent that he couldn't quite place. Jamaican, maybe, or some other Caribbean island. Sister Angelique wore a black clerical dress nearly floor length, its high collar edged with white. Over her slight left breast was the inevitable palm bough symbol of the new morality. But hers had a white cross inside the circle. Tabalera stepped up and took the chair to her right, close enough to smell the scent of fresh flowers she was wearing. "You're probably wondering why we asked you here this morning," Sister Angelique said, her smile widening. Tabalera had heard that old saw before, but realized she was trying to put him at his ease, so he tried to smile back at her. "Something about the Northern Lights, huh?" Sister Angelique nodded. "Yes, about the Northern Lights." He waited for her to continue. Her smile faded, and her face grew quite serious. Her dark brown eyes were large, almond-shaped. They almost looked oriental. "The hierarchy has tried to downplay the lights," she began. "I thought that was an ill-considered decision. After all, anyone can see them, can't they? In Little Rock, the police are making everybody stay indoors from sundown to dawn. Sister Angelique shook her head. Not very wise, is it? Bad for restaurants and other businesses. And even with modern surveillance systems, how can the police enforce such a measure? She had a habit of framing her statements as questions, Tavalera realized, trying to get me to say something, he figured. You saw the lights? She asked. Night after night. What do you think of them? They're beautiful. But what's causing them, do you think? Damned if I know. From the sudden flare of her eyes, he immediately regretted his minor vulgarity. I mean, that's what I was asking my brother about. You're curious, aren't you? No, Mr. Tavalera. I am not curious. I'm afraid. Afraid of what? She hesitated. Some people fear that the lights signify the coming end of the world. Tavalera made a face to show what he thought of that. But it could be just that, you know, Sister Angelique said quite seriously. Exactly that. The end of the world, as we know it. I don't understand. You've spent the past several years in space, haven't you? That's right. You were assigned to the Jupiter station, but somehow ended in the Saturn colony. He almost laughed at the perplexity on her face. I was working on the scoop ships. You know, they suck up hydrogen and helium isotopes from Jupiter's atmosphere, fuel for our fusion generators. Sister Angelique nodded uncertainly. We had an accident while we were refueling a habitat vessel heading to Saturn. I got stranded and one of the guys from the habitat came out and rescued me, saved my life. But I had to go with their vessel all the way out to Saturn. And you stayed there? Until I could get transportation back home, Tavalera said. Silently, he added, I stayed long enough to fall in love, but not long enough to get smart enough to stay on Goddard with her. Chapter 8 Sister Angelique said, So you've lived in space for several years, then? You've had experience on spacecraft? Yeah, right. Is that important? It's unusual, Mr. Tavalera, she said, almost frowning. We don't have many people with your kind of experience among us. Most people who go to space never return to Earth. Can you blame them? He asked silently. We need someone with experience in space to help us deal with the problem. What problem? He snapped. The Northern Lights? That's a problem? She bit her lip, obviously struggling with a decision. At last she said, Mr. Tavalera, I've got to ask you to sign a secrecy agreement. Why? What for? Her smile returned, fainter this time. I'm afraid I can't answer your questions until you sign the agreement. And if I don't? She cocked her head slightly to one side. If you refuse, you'll be returned to Little Rock. Before Tavalera could say anything, she added, And be assigned to a different job, I'm afraid. Probably far from your home and family. Feeling the heat of anger rising in him again, Tavalera grumbled, Damned if I do and damned if I don't, huh? I pray that you're not damned at all, Mr. Tavalera. You know what I mean. He waited for her to reply. When she didn't, he demanded, Look, what's this all about? Why do I have to sign a secrecy agreement? You said you were curious. About the lights. Once you sign the agreement, we can begin to satisfy your curiosity. Tavalera gave her a skeptical look, but she simply sat there, smiling sweetly at him, with a hint of something in her eyes. Expectation, maybe? They've got me royally screwed, Tavalera thought. If I don't sign the agreement, they're going to send me to Alaska or Guatemala or someplace where I can't talk to my friends. Goddamn new morality runs the government, and I'm just a speck of dust to them. Damn, he muttered. Sister Angelique leaned slightly toward him. Mr. Tavalera, the truth is that we need you. I need you. You? There are forces within the new morality who are misusing the power God has granted us. Old men, for the most part. Tired, frightened old men. They don't trust the people. They fear them, and the lights. Now Tavalera felt confused. You're saying, I've already said much more than I should.